Before I begin, I wanna ask you guys a few questions. What is the difference between a home with and without love? What's business like without his love? And what does loving your neighbor look like to you? The love of God. What makes his love so special? And how can we bring it where it's lacking? Before I begin, I want to open up in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. If you're following with me, but I hope it's on the screen. Yes, thank you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Can I get an amen or a nah? Something around here. What are we instructed to do here? Beloved. That word, beloved. What is the difference between my love and beloved? Those who are loved, let us love. We are not just commanded to love one another to earn or become worthy of God's love, but we love one another because we are loved by God and have received that love and live in light of it. So, yeah, it's tough, Archer. This love thing is can be challenging. And when you read this chapter, you're like, yo, love one another, okay. And why? Some people might be asking themselves, why? Let us love one another, for love is of God. John's emphasis here on love among the people of God is quite powerful. If love is of God, then those who claim to be born of God, those who claim to know God, must be able to love one another in the body of Christ. Amen. Aina. There's just something given to a believer when they are born of God, which is a love that is imparted in their lives that was never there before. Yes? So is this the only source of love? That's another question, right? There's so many measurements nowadays that we use to try and you know, calculate the love that we have, you know, all those love languages and all of that. But no matter what our culture promotes, there is no other source of love on this earth. Everyone and everything claiming to be love is a counterfeit. And despite what the world may tell us or try to convince us, here's the good news. God loves everyone. And there's nothing we can do. We had that song and, you know, it's nothing that we prepared. There's nothing we can do to earn this love. It's nothing we can do or don't do. It's just based on who God is, and he is love. And the devil might try to lie to us and go to great lengths to try and convince us that he doesn't love us. And if we don't know the truth about him, then we'll believe those lies. And how do we get to know the truth about him? That's a sermon from another day. So I hope you guys know the answer to that, yeah? Now, if a person states that they're Christian, but still show lack of love through bitterness and unforgiving spirits, should we affirm that that person is a Christian? Just went silent right there. Well, of course, this love is not perfected in the life of a Christian on this side of eternity. But though it may not be perfected, it must be present and it must be growing. You can't truly grow in your experience of God without growing in the love for one another. John here even boldly states that he who does not love does not know God. So So if there isn't real love for God's people in your life, then your claims to know God or experience God is not make sure, is questionable. But remember, the focus here is not about us bringing the love to where it's lacking, but loving one another in order for that love to reach where it's lacking. So I want us to look even beyond, if I may, take you guys on this journey. Like, I'm a person that likes to, like, imagine a story or, like, put words to it so I can remember something. So I want to look at the characteristics of this love. But I want to start off on the just further up in 1 John from verse 18 to 21, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he loved us first." So if somebody says that I love God but hates his brother, then they are a liar. For the one who does not love their brother and sister that they have seen, how can they love God whom they have not seen? This is a commandment that we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Amen. Aina, you still with me? So, for me, if I can just look at this context here, it's stemming from how lightly we may view this kind of love and how easy it is to misunderstand what it means to love one another through false teachings. We must understand that God's love will be displayed to one another or to each other through our lives. And it's such a great privilege to bring God's love to each other. But in some areas, it's so discouraging to see that some of us as Christians treat this love one another as simply a general command to keep Christians in line. But the exact opposite is the truth. God's nature is love. And us as believers, we are challenged to reflect that love in our lives. Now, here's another question. Are your claims correct when you base it on the evidence that was revealed to you? Characteristics. Somebody say with me, unconditional. God's love is not based on what we do or don't do. God loves all of his children, no matter how far astray they are. I'm a testimony. Amen. Somebody say with me, everlasting. God's love is enduring and constant, regardless of our circumstances. God's love is a model of how we should love each other over time. Now, somebody say transformative. God's love is reliable, boundless, and consistent. God's love is an expression of his love story, which looks far beyond our flaws and our mistakes. Somebody say, holy. God's love is perfect, pure, righteous, and without fault. God will discipline those he loves, not because he doesn't like them or hates them. Amen. Because he loves them. Somebody say, patient and faithful. God's love is patient, faithful, and unending. God's love is always with us, even in our pains and suffering. Somebody say with me, merciful. God's love is forgiving and full of grace. Just a reminder before I hand over to my brothers. God never asked or will never ask us to run this race for him, but to run this race together. He is a God of second chances. And if I'm speaking to you today, I'm challenging you to pray for the spirit of this God kind of love in your life. To choose to forgive that person even if they offended you. I'm challenging you guys not only to forgive that person, but to forgive yourself also. Because it will just make it easier for you. So if I may, can we bow our heads and just pray as I finish off? So Father, I pray that may our relationship with you be a burst of light. May it be a fount of love and wisdom for us, for our families, for our community, and for our world. May this bond be a channel for your love and healing, a vehicle of your grace and power. And as lessons come and challenges grow, let us not be tempted to forsake each other. May your name be precious to us and bring us delight always, so that your good, pleasing, and perfect will is accomplished in us and through us. Provide us the food and care we need today, Father. And forgive us our sins as we forgive us those who sin against us. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, our atoning sacrifice, who washed away our sins with his blood and reconciled us to you. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
How is everyone?
It is well.
It is well with our souls. Amen. My name is Tapiwa. I think most of you know me as TK. Most people get surprised when I tell them that Taura is my mom. Can you shine? All right, so for those who have not made the connections, now you have connected. All right, so I'm just going to ride off from what KG was saying when he talked about togetherness and when we were speaking regarding love and unity. So my main scripture will be from 1 John 1, verse 1 to 7. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm just going to go through it with bit by bit. All right, so I believe in this time the fierce battle is raging within our halls as a church. And what is that battle I'm talking about? I'm talking of a battle of division. The enemy knows a divided church is a crippled church. But God has a better plan for us, amen. In 1 John 1 verse 7, we hear his promise. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Amen. So unity is not built on age. It's not built on tradition or even preferences. It's forged with one thing, and that thing is the blood of Christ. So today we're going to confront the problem of division. Then we're going to discover God's solution. And then his answer to call to stand us as one body. I think as a church, it is time for us to stop fighting each other and start fighting for his kingdom. Amen. So I think every time Zolani comes up on stage and he says, in Upper Highway Vineyard, everyone can play. I'm sure the devil is listening, eh? It's like, I also want to play. But his play is a dirty play. And his play is a play of division. And he loves it when the young and the old are fighting. The young wants drums, the old wants hymns. The young don't like the traditions of the old. And the old, they might not like this reckless passion of the youth. So we've got this clash and these divisions between generations. fair point. But this is not God's design. In 1 John 1, 5 to 6, God warns us, God is light. In him there is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. I just went back to this. You remember from last Sunday, Andrew gave us this. I see I'm doing my homework, Andrew. And there is a list. And on this list, there are some of the things I'll just read. The acts of the flesh are obvious. I'm not going to read it all. But there's hatred, there's discord, there's jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, functions, and envy. So on this list, it's a big list. And all these words are describing some form of division. So division is darkness. There's pride, there's jealousy, misunderstandings, and it chokes the life from the body. Satan fears a united church because he knows a house divided cannot stand. It's time we recognize his scheme. The battle isn't between us, brothers and sisters. It's against him. Amen. But anyway, we are not left helpless. He has given us a perfect weapon to shatter the division. So praise God, we have a solution. And that solution is not compromise. That solution is not one generation bowing to another generation. Our unity is sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood spilled on the cross doesn't care if you are 80 or if you are 18. It washes us all clean and binds us as one family. 1 John 1, 7 declares, if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. Walking in the light means living in truth, in holiness, and in love. And the Father, Son, and Spirit, they were in complete fellowship. We are all invited into this fellowship. And in this fellowship, that's where we find love. That's where we find truth. That's where we find holiness. And in that complete fellowship, division melts away. So it's not about your background, your age, or whether you prefer drums or organs or guitar. None of that. It's about the blood that makes us one. Amen. So, knowing all this, now how do we live it out? God's plan demands action from all of us. So if we read Acts 2, verse 17, it proclaims, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Take Gogo N, for example. She carries a deep foundation. She has decades of faithfulness. Take KG. He's still young. He's bright. He's got momentum. He has fire for the kingdom. And together, join Gogo N, join KG. We are unstoppable. Amen. Amen. So my challenge is to the young people. So maybe after the service, go talk to the older guys. Seek out a mentor. Just hear about their life. Hear about how they've conquered through the storms they've faced throughout these years. A challenge to the older bunch. Invite one of the young guys for lunch. You know? Teach them to pray. And in return, maybe they can teach you how to spread the word on TikTok. It's a good deal. So Psalm 133 verse 1 says, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell in unity. For there the Lord commands a blessing. Let's build that blessing together. Will you take that step today? So I just declare in this house that the walls of divisions are falling, that the spirit of pride is being broken within the generations, that the fire of revival is blazing across generations in Jesus' name. So let us pray. Lord, we repent of all division within the church. We shatter the pride and misunderstanding between us. We turn the hearts of the young to the old and the old to the young. Ignite your spirit across every age until your glory fills the earth. Amen. Amen. And in closing, before I pass the mic, I just want to say, brothers and sisters, let's live here united, ready to fight not each other, but the real enemy. The world is watching. Let's show them what an unstoppable church looks like. Amen. Amen.
Holy and righteous are you, O God. Your glory fills the heavens and the earth. You hold the universe by the power of your word. Holy, holy, holy are you. You are the God who was, who is, and yet to come. From the rising of the sun to the going down of it, you are worthy to be praised. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega, you are the first and you are the last. You are an unchanging God. You are always faithful, never to lie. We give you praise. We give you glory. Our eternal Father, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God. Take all the praise and glory for this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Help me to greet somebody next to you in Jesus' name. Tell them the guy in the front greets you in Jesus' name. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Andrew, my father, for trusting us with this opportunity. Thank you so much for this service, for trusting us to just stand here and share the word. God has been so great and been so good. Thank you, KG, for the love of God. Thank you so much, TK, for uniting us in the spirit. Just want to share the message of faith just quickly and then we close. It's in the book of Romans chapter number 4, Gary, please, in verse number 19. So here we find a beautiful couple, ma, who has been married for many years and they do not have a baby. And God speaks to Abraham, his chosen, he says to him, I will give you a son through Sarah. And this guy has a report from the doctor that declares that his wife can no longer bear children because she is over age. The ladies here knows that once you are 60 and above, you have reached a stage called a menopause stage. You can no longer, my goodness me. So now, this guy faces a reality, and yet he has the promise of God. God says to him, I will give you a son. But now the reality kicks in. His body, let us look here. Verse number 19, Gary, please. The word says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Come on. That his body was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. This is the reality he's facing. He is facing the fact. Can I have two chairs? Just want to demonstrate something, and then I'll close quickly. Just two chairs. Thank you so much. So, here I have the reality, the tangible reality of the situation here. And here I have the promise of God. Abraham is here facing his facts that his body is good as dead. and Sarah cannot conceive a child anymore. But God is saying you will have a child. Come on now. Come on. Now, Abraham is facing the fact he has a doctor's note written. You can no longer bear a child. But now God is saying, I will bless you indeed. Now, what is Abraham doing now? He is facing his facts and believing the promise. He is facing his facts that I cannot do it. But God is saying, now, what Abraham should do, come on, let us read verse number 20. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Come on, 21. And he said, being persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised to do. God has the power to do what he promised to do. So now, my fact is, I am sick and I have been diagnosed with an incurable disease. But the word says, by his stripes I was healed. The word of God says, he heals all manner of sickness and disease. The reality kicks in, I am so poor. But the word says, God will supply all needs. Hey. According to his riches in glory. Ooh. The reality kicks in, I feel all alone, but the word says he will never leave me nor forsake. Now what do you do? What do you do? Believe the word of God. So now, Abraham on his side, he is moving to where God is calling him to. Come on. From his reality to where God is calling him to. So, knowing God, he knows that it is impossible for God to lie. And he knows that nothing is impossible with God. And he knows that if God can create the sun, how much more a closed womb? Hey! Oh, come on now, church. Come on now. God has the power to change your situation. Just go in his word and begin to entertain the word of God. The doctor can say one thing, but God says the other thing. Ooh. The only way to walk in victory, it is to entertain God's word in your life. Face your facts. Mommy, faith does not deny a mountain. Faith moves.
Oh. Oh.
Come on. Faith moves the mountain. Just stand there and say, in Jesus' name. Oh, Cameron, in Jesus' name. Unemployment, in Jesus' name. God has the power to do. Oh, my goodness. If ever you feel weak, just get up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you all just stand up and pray this morning? He'll just all stand up and pray this morning. Oh God. Oh God. If you want prayer in closing, just come in front. If you need the power of God, he gives power to the weary. If you feel weak, oh, the promise. In his reality, he gives power. In his reality, he gives power. If you want some prayers, if you feel weak, if you need anything, we have pastors here who will pray with you. Gary, can you please just play something for me and say, I beg you in Jesus' name. Oh, Samaya, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you praise. If ever you want some prayers, we can come up front or we can meet after service in Jesus' name. I would like to pass it to Pastor Andrew as he lead us in prayer in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise this morning in Jesus' mighty name. In your reality, you heal, you provide, oh God. You save, you redeem, you bless. Oh, hallelujah. We give you praise that you have blessed us in the heavenlies with every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus Christ. Father, siyabonga kakhulu egameni likaKristu Jesu.
heal, deliver, protect, guide, and provide. We give you praise for this morning. Baba, othona amandla onke, that you give strength to the weary, that you provide all our needs. You heal every sicknesses and you forgive all our sins. Father, we give you praise that you strengthen us in our inner man by the Holy Ghost. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name, that goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name, that you feed the birds of the air and you dress the grass of the field. How much more will you dress and feed us? Father, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe, say amen. Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your name. The road marked with suffering.